our listeners in. We're going to stand by for a little bit to make sure there's no emergency or priority traffic before we continue with the next this evening. Okay, hearing nothing. We'll continue. Good evening, everyone. This is N2NLV. My name is Charles from Staten Island in New York City. And I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listeners net that's heard on the N2ROW linked repeater system every Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this net is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We're going to be talking about all the frequencies that are tunable outside of the amateur radio bands, from DC all the way up to light, and everything else in between. All the different modes, voice, data, visual, whatever's out there to pick up, whatever somebody is interested in, that's what this net is designed for. We'll also talk about what equipment you would need and the way you can find more information. You have information, basic ground rules for the net. One, all of the repeaters of this link repeater system can be found at www.n2row.net. Please pick the repeater that's closest to where you are and use just enough power to get into the system without overloading one of the remote receivers. Also, because it is a linked repeater system, you must always pause after you press the push to talk button. Pause for about a second or two and then begin to speak. Otherwise, the beginning part of your transmission will get cut off at some point in the system. It's just the nature of the linked repeater system. When you're checking in on the air, please give your call sign, name, and location, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. By traffic, we're talking about any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, just say the word no traffic, and this way we'll know to go on to the next person. If you're not able to get into the repeater for whatever reason, you may be too far away, you may be having some technical difficulties, you may not have your amateur radio license yet, you can still participate by using email. And the email address for this net is nyzxa@yahoo.com. So at this point, we'll stand by for the check-in. Please space it out. This way people are not stepping on each other, and we can get everybody checked in. This is N2NLV.
Charlie, WA2SQQ, Bob in Elmwood Park. I'm checking email. There's one or two questions in there which I'm answering, but otherwise no traffic.
Alright, well, we've got WA2SQQ and noise burst. Can we try to check in? Please try to get it.
I'll find out where they are.
There might be one in Connecticut. I don't remember. Although that seems to be more one of the more clear channel weather frequencies, so to speak. Why, I don't know. If you went up to 162.55, you'd find many more weather stations on the same channel for some reason. But anyway, WA2RWC. Good evening, Charlie, Bob.
You mean 162.55, right?
Yeah, 162.55. Then you'd find Rhode Island, Worcester, Vermont, I believe. Oh, no, I think Vermont is on 425, actually. Listen for the ID. It'll be, and you listen for the local forecast. A lot of times that'll tell you right away before you have to wait for an ID.
Hey, Charlie, I had a chance to play with one of those, I don't even know how you pronounce it, Wuxon, those dual-band handy talkies that are coming into the country from China. Have you seen those yet?
I've seen plenty of pictures of them and listings on eBay. Not specifically that model, but various ones. I'm not sure if they're any good, but if you play with it, certainly be happy to hear how it works, especially shooting in stuff out of band.
Let me tell you, $104 delivered, and the one I had was $400 to $480. I actually shifted it a little bit. I had it $430 to $499. It would actually transmit up to 508, but I had, no reason. It's a dynamite little radio. I mean, there's a few things it didn't have, but the receiver on it is an excellent receiver. I mean, if nothing else, buy the thing as a scanner. 128 channel, full tone. It's a very nice radio. I bought it actually, I was going to give it to my son. He wanted to use it kind of as a scanner on the fire department. Unfortunately, the one I had wouldn't go past $499, but I think I'm going to order the other version. There's a 420 to 520 version. And let me tell you, for $104, if I lost the thing, I wouldn't worry about it. And the accessories for it are very cheap. I mean, a 1700 mil high duty, heavy duty battery, I think it's like $17.
Oh, interesting. So these are single band radios, not dual, right?
They're dual band. They have a... Oh, I see what you're saying. No, it's dual band, because it'll do... the one I had was 130 to 180, and then I had it configured 430 to 499. The software was available that you could shift it. It's a dual band, full handy talkie, puts out 4 watts. The audio on them is... It's really nice. Comes with the programming cable. You download the software, the antenna, an ear speaker mic, use the ear canal, charger. Radioshop888.com, I think, is the website. You can go up there, but $104 delivered. That's with postage.
And it's got text-to-speech built into it, not that you care, although it's not very well done. But pretty amazing that they pulled that off on a radio for that cheap of a price. And lots and lots of positive reviews on EHAM about it, saying that it's much better made than most of the other Chinese radios on the market. The firmware certainly needs a nice, well-thought-out overhaul. But, I mean, to make it more usable and functional and easier to use. It is dual band, but you can only receive one band at a time, because you can receive two bands, but when one's on, the other one mutes. But amazing for the price.
That's correct. I mean, there was little quirks with it. Every time it stops on a frequency, the display lights up. I didn't like that, but I measured it, and it was barely 2 million, so, you know, not a big deal. Had plenty of audio. The other thing that I didn't like is the squelch was set too loose. A signal on frequency without the proper PL would stop the scanning. I mean, there was a few bugs in it, but, you know, for the most part, no big deal. A friend of mine bought it, and he decided he didn't want it. I picked it up for $85. I kept it for 2 weeks, and when it wouldn't go to the frequency I wanted, another friend of mine grabbed it. So I didn't make any money. I didn't lose any money, but I think I'm going to order the 420 to 520 version because it'll do exactly what I want. You know, my son didn't want it to transmit. He only wanted it to receive. But it's very small. It's as small as anything on the market, maybe even a little smaller.
Website.
I believe it's radioshop888.com. And I'll call it up here in a minute, and I'll give you the site. That's about the best price I found, and they have different versions. Hang on.
You know, a lot of things, especially in this area, Bob, but also what's supposed to be happening over the next 5 years or so, is the 6.25 kilohertz step rate, everything going to the narrow band. So the question is, can this tune in that narrow of step rate?
I honestly don't know, Charlie. I didn't play with it enough. Yeah, it's radioshop888.com. And if you look on the left, you'll see it. It says Wuxon KG UVD1 on sale. Now, the UVD1, and then there's a UVD1P. The P version is touch tone for transmit. Problem is, though, when you hit the touch tone, it sends out just a little chirp, and there's a lot of repeaters that don't like the touch tone. So you can get the, you know, the UVD1, KG-UVD1, for a lot less money. They dropped the price. Okay, so there's the 420 to 450 version. It's 136 to 174. N 420 to 520 dual band radio, delivered $103.50. Now, if you don't like that, you can get 136 to 174 and 400 to 480, or you can get the 136 to 174 and 216 to 280. And 216 to 280. So there's actually a 220 version. That version is $119. There's all different versions, though. There's one that covers 60 to 88 meg. So they're making these things for all world markets. Check this website out. It's in Hong Kong, and a lot of people are ordering. The delivery's quick. They're legitimate. You pay via PayPal. And I played with the radio. I'm very impressed with it. I mean, the ASU or the Icon, you know, yes, they do have more features. What this thing had was kind of cute. It had a super bright white LED on the top with a button on the side. So you could actually use it as a flashlight. They actually had it as a flashlight option, which is quirky as it sounds. It actually came in handy once or twice.
I think it also does do the 6.25 KC step, Charlie.
Good. That's the only thing that's really useful, especially in a metropolitan area like this. So the services switching over that way. You know, if you're going to want to listen to them, like Bob says, as a scanner, addendum to your ability to use it, you know, for the nets and stuff, you have to have that step rate. Otherwise, it's going to be total mess.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm just amazed at that radio. I mean, there's a lot they did wrong with it firmware design-wise, because the Chinese engineers, I don't think they tend to put a lot of thought into the design. I think they throw a piece of hardware together, write some firmware for it, and just keep tweaking it until it kind of works. But, you know, so for example, switching from memory to VFO and back is rather cumbersome on that radio. You you have to go into the menus. You got to scroll down to menu 27, or you can type in the menu numbers on the keypad and do it that way. So it's cumbersome. I won't even go into how poorly the text-to-speech was implemented, but at least it's there. I mean, so many of us have been begging Kenwood and Yaesu for years to put speech in radios and especially speech into HDs, and they just won't do it because they cry money and this and that and the other thing. Meanwhile, these guys throw it in without even thinking about it and charge you one-third of the price of any radio you're going to get from Kenwood or Yaesu, and it does, you know, three-quarters as much anyway. KQGLW.
KQGLW,
go ahead, Gordon. Just to follow up on a point of Chinese stuff that you may or may not know, I have a daughter who works for a Chinese company. She lives in Seattle, but she's the head of design and production for a Chinese textile company. The Chinese have some really good services, and they concentrate on the products that bring in the most foreign exchange to China, like textiles. Money makers, Chinese, they will put some of their top engineers on, and they will come up with products that are as good as.
You're walking the dog again, Gordon.
Buy any Chinese scooters?
Scooters are presumably not huge money makers for them, but basically automobile. I mean, my daughter will tell you something. I think better than
Hey, Gordon, are you running high power on that HT? Because you used to make the Manhattan repeater really well walking the dog, but these days you're kind of down in the noise.
When I'm in the park with the dog, that's one thing, but I'm walking down the street and I'm surrounded by tall buildings on either side, and I know from the screen that I have a certain amount of trouble hitting the repeater. Do I sound any different now, guys, K2GLW?
Oh, what's that, Gordon?
Okay, I was on the Manhattan 440, and I just switched over to the box.
Now, as far as normally the Manhattan machine is decent, I don't know, maybe something's going on with the receiver. Anyway, yeah, it's interesting what you're saying, the philosophy, so to speak. But, you know, it is what it is.
A big American cotton company based in Macon for years, and she worked all the southern mill towns, and then went to work for the Chinese company, and the difference between the style equipment and the level of skill of the importers was just day and night. The Chinese were so much better than she found in these Georgia and Carolina and Tennessee mill towns.
Hey, Bob, from a public event and emergency communications point of view, just going through this website, I'm seeing a bunch of single-band radios for like $54. I can just buy a few of those and shove them in a bag, and there's a bunch of spares then.
But look at the earpieces and radio parts. A lot of very cheap stuff on here. It looks tempting.
There's even a model here that'll cover the 4 meter band when I go over to Europe.
Yep. And like I say, the prices are reasonable and a lot of people have ordered, so it's not a place that you're going to order from and never hear from them again. A lot of guys, in fact, I was reading one thread where a group in the Midwest ordered like 100 of the radios and they got them in about a week.
You know, it's just a matter of, you know, somebody with the conviction to go ahead and, you know, create and market something. I mean, look what's happened in the history of portable shortwave radios and scanners over the past 10, 15, 20 years. That some really unique designs have come out. Pricing has been halfway decent. I mean, of course, you know, when we got to the trunking scanners, things got a little expensive, especially when it went digital. But other than that, you know, it's amazing what's come out. I mean, look at just something as simple as an emergency power radio, which this disaster in Haiti brings that to mind. You know, that everybody should have something like that, just in case you don't have any batteries. You know, something that's got like a solar cell for charging the internal mic pad or a crank on the side. And those things like dirt cheap these days. You get them like 20, 30 bucks.
Oh, we got up talking about an iTunes.
Sorry, what was that? You got up. Just one of the.
Josh, what radio were you guys talking about when I tuned in?
A Chinese-made dual-band business radio that will work on the ham band. Really, really cheap. A dual-bander for about $105, $110.
Thank you. WA3YRE, Mobile 2.
YRE, guys.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Who did you say made this radio?
It's a Chinese company. Bob, what's the website again?
The name of the radio is Wuxian. It's radioshop888.com. And the radio is spelled W-O-U-X-U-N. A lot of people have around here. I had one for a short time. It wouldn't go as high as I wanted, but I'm going to order, you know, the version that I want. 136 to 174 plus 420 to 520. Puts out 4 watts. So it's a very nice radio. It's not perfect design. I will tell you right now, there's some little quirks, some little bugs in it. It's not a Kenwood or an ICOM. But $104 delivered to your door from Hong Kong. So you're not paying a lot. And, you know, if you use it, you dropped it, you broke it, or somebody stole it or whatever, I wouldn't lose sleep over it.
Yeah, Roger, that sounds like a pretty darn good deal. And for emergency purposes, you could program that thing up to hit the marine frequency, which could always be useful. I know that was useful on 9/11 for some of us.
It does, you know, PL, DPL, scanning. It's got all the features in it. It's not a, you know, a stripped vanilla radio. I mean, there's certain things it doesn't have, but like I say, for the money, it comes with the programming cable. You download the software from their website. Documentation is so-so, but you can download a better manual off the internet. There's 2 Yahoo groups that are supporting it. It's got plenty of audio. Battery life was pretty good on it. So, all in all, it's not a bad radio.
Yeah, Roger. I'm trying to commit that website to memory because I'm actually walking right now. Doesn't have any way to write it down. You said it was radioshop888.com?
Radioshop. One word. Radioshop888.com. And then if you look on the left-hand side, you'll see Wuxian. And there's 3 or 4 versions of the radio. I mean, if you go to Wuxian's site, this is only one dealer that sells them, but it's about the cheapest one. If you actually go to their site, I mean, they have single band, they have dual band. You get radios for any frequency you want. I mean, they've got, you know, 60 to 88 meg radios. There's a 136 to 174 dual band, and then the second band is 220 to 280. So if you wanted a 220 radio, there you go. Low 400s. There's a
when I say 60 to 88, I mean, all the frequency splits are there, but this is the most common one. You know, it does 420 to 520 and then 136 to 174, so it covers the two amateur bands.
I'm right there and fine for $104. That's not bad at all. Now, like you said, it's almost a disposable radio from the standpoint of if you get caught in the rain or you drop it or something, you're not gonna be crying.
That's exactly the way I look at it. Hey, Charlie, I'm just looking. This company also sells all different kind of programming cables. I'm really shocked. Here's the whole programming cable for example, the Motorola GP350. $23.50
delivered. Interesting. See, sounds like they got all the bases covered there. Now, I'm curious though, Bob. You've got the speaker mic connection on, you said. What type of connector is it? Is it like standard ICOM dual pin or 10 with reverse pin or a single 4-section pin like some of the Yaesus have? What kind of pin is it?
That's more like a cell phone uses. I think it was a 3 or 4 conductor, push in pin deal. But they even sell different speaker mics and earpieces for it. There was nothing on there that I saw that was proprietary. So even if it's something that you wanted to retrofit to the radio, look at the web manual and you'll feel the best.
Well, I think they say on the website, Bob, that the Kenwood programming cable would work. In fact, I have seen that mentioned. Now, I don't know which Kenwood programming cable, if it's the one that matches the 6A. Proprietary. If the Kenwood programming cable would work, if it's the THF6 style, then their speaker mics would work more than likely. The only thing that is different is the antenna connector, but they even sell adapters for that.
Hey guys, I'm going to drop out of here. I just got home. I'll probably hit the web when I get in the house and check that out. Thanks for the info. WA3YRE Mobile 2, 73.
The antenna connector on this is TNC. That was another neat thing. I'm figuring, what are they going to use on it? It was a nice screw-in TNC connector. And the antenna itself was actually, pretty well built.
That it works quite well, too. Unlike some of the stock antennas we get with our radios.
Bob, did you say TNC as in Tango November Charlie? Or Bravo November Charlie?
T like in Tango.
Oh, that's unusual. A TNC connector on a handheld. Last time I saw something like that was on my 1.2 gig ICOM handheld radio from the early 90s. Everything else seems to be either BMC or SMA.
No, I don't think it's SMA. I'm pretty sure it was TNC. You know what? You might be right, but it was one of the common connectors. I'm just trying to think. No, SMA is the real tiny ones they normally use on microwave, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure this was TNC. You look at it, though. I mean, there's pictures of it. The thing that impressed me about this, it was built well. The battery fit on there. I mean, I don't know the case if I dropped it a few times. You know, maybe it's not as rugged as some of the other ones. But all in all, I don't think you're going to find a radio with those features for twice the price.
With a desktop charger included besides. I mean, it's amazing.
got a drop in charger.
It actually comes with a desktop charger, Charlie, for $100. And this mic and programming cable. You don't even have to buy the programming cable extra. And the software is a free download. I mean, it's really something. I don't want to change the subject because I was very interested in that radio as well. Because of the text-to-speech. But I do have a Bearcat question at some point.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. The close call feature on the Bearcat 396 XT versus the original 396T.
I wouldn't know. I just have the original 396.
Yeah, Roger. Well, people criticize the GREs because of their... on objects or systems you can have. My personal feeling is that that's a lot of baloney, because the more you put in a standard, you hear what you're really... Yet there's things that the GRE just seems to do in a much cleaner, more automatic, intuitive way than the Bearcat, than the newer Bearcat. That it kind of surprised me, because I felt Unidyne had a hell of a lot of time to get it right. But nonetheless, you know, they're both damn good scanners, and there's just no getting around that. Nor do I want to get around that. Okay, well, I just figured I'd ask. Just kind of curious. N2NOV, WA2SQQ, etc., WA2IWC.
N2NX, Charlie. Okay, Bob.
Yeah, I saw an email that came in from Jim, KQLMH, over the weekend. Now, Friday, I sent out the email saying what was going on with the EMS in the Queens East District. And he was saying that he was here in Queens West, but only the vehicles on the new frequency, but not the base. And that's their procedure. What they've done was they've taken all of the old frequency receiver audios, you know, all the units out in the field, and tied them into the transmitters, both the new transmitter and the old transmitter system. And they're not switching over the consoles until they do it one by one. And on the day that they do the switchover, they tell everybody on that frequency to go to Citywide 2, the old Citywide 2. And they stay on there for half the day or so, or even the whole day, until they get all the bugs worked out, while the techs go in there with their audio levels and testing 1, 2, 3s and how do you hear me now activity for a few hours.
Connected.
Once it's...
Connected.
Incoming and outgoing audio together on the new frequency, and then they tell everybody to go over there, and then they start using it. So, you know, if a particular region hasn't switched over yet, yeah, you'll hear the base unit not being there, but only the mobile units. But once you hear both base and mobile, hey, it's live, just like Memorex. And that's what it'll be.
So they haven't done Manhattan yet, right?
Now, so far it was Queens East on Friday, Citywide 1 on Tuesday. They skipped Monday because it was a holiday. And then today was Queens West.
Seems to be going pretty fast, all in all, though.
Well, the way I'm keeping tabs on this is I leave the radio sitting on the EMS Citywide 2 frequency, 483.9875. And in the morning, I just jot down which units are being heard on that frequency. Then I look it up on the page of my website, and I know what section they're working on. So I'll just listen to it for the whole day, and on the handheld, I'll listen to the new frequency for the district that these units are in. And on the handheld, I hear all the, you know, the 1 kilohertz tones and the text testing and doing all sorts of different things. And then when they're satisfied, all of a sudden you hear the dispatcher on EMS 2 say, okay, all units from such and such, switch back over to your frequency. And off they go.
Sounds like it was a very smart, well thought out plan for once.
Yeah, for once.
I'll have to throw that into one of my radios here, 483.9875. I'll throw that in tomorrow. See what I can hear on it from here. good. You're always a wealth of information, Charlie. That's for damn sure. How are you, A2IWC?
Well, I got tipped off that something was going to be happening. I sent an email out to everybody a couple of weeks ago. And I just and... listening, just like I'm listening to somebody keep trying their echo link and it's not working and it keeps dropping out. Anyway, that's all I'm doing, Don. You know, just being a little fly on the wall, keep my ears open, so to speak. So I've got, you know, a couple of scanners going, certain key call groups and frequencies, and when something happens, piques my interest, I pay attention and drop the notes down.
Yeah, makes sense to me. That's for sure. All right, very good. Well, I guess that is probably about it from here. I've been playing with some HF radios on the web lately. And listening to some of the Salvation Army nets for the Haiti rescue. The N2 JEU radio is locked on there now. You used to be able to change it, but you can't now. And I even played with one of the SDR radios on the web, which I never thought I'd be able to access, but it was one of the most well done interfaces I've ever seen. Although in the final final step, I couldn't get it to actually work, but nonetheless, some fun stuff out there.
Man, it has been a busy time since the earthquake hit, and we had a bunch of things going on last week, including different nets going on the internet as well. Echolink, IRLP. All sorts of different things happening in different directions. Now, let's see if Bob is back before we start wrapping up for the evening. W2SQ, N2NLB.
I am, Charlie. I kind of checked in, but I think I doubled with you. Nothing on the email. I just checked that again. W2SQ.
Do you remember when you had your Opto Digital Scout? If it had any trouble receiving signals that had digital PL on them.
Well, it didn't identify DPL. It didn't identify PL, so... The Opto Scout was okay, but... The frequency was not always 100% dead on. It was close. And I got to be honest, the cheap Radio Shack receiver with close call on it blows the OptoScout away. I sold my OptoScout a few years back. And it looking, you know, in retrospect, I think that the scanners with close call now do a much better job.
I don't know, man. It's hard to believe that because the Opto Scout is almost instantaneous, man. When there's a signal, it's locked onto that signal within a split second. And you don't often see that with close call. You also get a lot more hits on a close call scanner than you're ever going to get on an Opto Scout. So, I don't know, but I understand what you mean. It's very interesting. I think as the frequency goes up, it has more of a problem getting it right. Because I have one here right now. I have an old one, probably one of the original digital scouts. And boy, if I key up my ham radios, it gets the frequency right on the money to the last zero. But you start going up from 450, and it starts to treat everything as if it was on a splinter channel or 6 1/4 KC, step configuration. But the reason I asked about digital PL was not whether it could decode it. I know it can't do that. It can't even decode regular PL. But if you think about it, a digital PL is really FSK. And I'm still trying to get these frequencies of these damn radios in the building across the street from me, the Park Vendome. And I even ran in there with a digital scout and grabbed one of the porter's radios. And I wasn't able to get it to lock onto it. I know there's nothing special about their radios. One of them I grabbed was a Motorola Radius, but I don't know the model number.
Hey, John, a couple things to think about.
Yes, sir.
Okay. With any of those frequency counters, when you're receiving a signal that's being modulated, that can be modulated by voice, or even a PL or DPL, there's still some modulation going on. The frequency is not going to be exactly what the carrier is. It's going to be the carrier plus whatever the modulation is. Okay, so if it's a 5 kilohertz bandwidth for voice, it'll reach the frequency plus 5 kilohertz.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I agree. But what I'm saying is I think that it may have trouble counting the frequency when it's modulated in an FSK fashion, and that would be the case with DPL.
Yeah, unless somebody was smoking. But the thing is, between the DPL and PL is one thing, but you still have to modulate the voice. Okay? If it was purely digital, like a P25 type signal, then yes, I could understand that being a problem.
No, these are not P25. I actually grabbed the radio and keyed down with no modulation. And I had the scout in my pocket and the radio in my hand, and it did not lock onto it. And the only explanation I could come up with was that the radios must have DPL. And of course, DPL, as I say, is very different than regular PL. So the carrier is modulated with FSK, and it shifts. Put a carrier and heterodyne an FM signal with DPL on it, you'll hear what I mean. It goes, it's really something. And I think that's enough to get the scout unable to lock onto it.
Okay, I'll turn it with my frequency counter. Run the test. Alright. I'll see if I can get some test results for you by next week. Alright, I get nothing else. Bob, you got anything in the email? Hey, Charlie, I'm going to pull the switch here myself. Try to get to sleep early tonight. Talk to you during the week or whatever, and see you here next week. WA2SQQ. Okay, sounds good. Don, we'll catch you next week, and I'll do some tests with PL versus DPL, and I'll let you know what I find out.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. I'm going to do the same here, but I don't know. I got the scout into a funk right now, and I don't know what the hell's the matter with it. Now it doesn't seem to want to lock onto anything, so I'm letting the battery die so that it loses all of its settings. And then I can start from scratch, and then I'll be able to run that test myself. But thank you, guys. Just always looking for input. Bob, pleasure. Charlie, a pleasure. Take it easy. Catch you guys next week on the net. And Bob, can you give me an email address I can reach you at? I wanted to drop you an email at some point, not tonight, but maybe in the next couple of days.
njscan@gmail.com. njscan@gmail.com.
And I guess he's gone. Thank you, Charlie, for a good net. Take it easy, WHYWC.
No, I'm still here. Am I not making a repeat?
The idea. At least I didn't hear you on the Manhattan one.
I'll try it again. It's NJSCAN. NJSCAN@gmail.com.
NJSCAN@gmail.com. Great. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it.
Bob, drop me an email and whatever it is, if I can help you, I'm happy to. The other thing, by the way, on your OptoScout, the antenna you're using is really what determines the sensitivity. If you use an antenna tuned for the frequencies that you're looking for, you'll find that it works much better. Now, the other thing is that the signal that you are going to be able to pick off needs to be 15 to 20 dB higher than your ambient noise level. So if you use a high-gain antenna on that thing, what I found was is that that little miracle baby, that stubby antenna, worked very well. The fact is it wasn't very efficient, and it wasn't receiving a lot of the weaker signals, so that the near-field signals tended to be much stronger above the ambient noise level, and it picked them off a lot better.
Oh, boy, you're absolutely right, Bob. I've tried several antennas on that because I didn't originally have the stubby, and then I got it. And that's all I use now because it's just what the doctor ordered for that application. You don't want that thing hearing all kinds of signals.
You don't. You know, and if you have a way, if you have an antenna bridge or whatever, if you... you get various rubber duckies and you measure their actual resonant frequencies. Or, you know, you could, you know, just cut little quarter wave antennas for whatever you want. But that little miracle baby antenna, I actually sold it and I kept it. I didn't sell that with it. As a receiving antenna for, you know, near field, if you're walking around the malls and all, I don't know what's inside of it. But it does a very respectable job for, you know, for local scanning. So... I think it's only about an inch and a half long. WHYQQ 73.
I suspect it's just a resistor. But it really is perfect. Take it easy, Bob. We'll catch you. A pleasure. WHYQQ.